Moncrief on News Talk.
Time for Tell Me Why with Graham Finlay. If you have a question for Graham, you can send it in as ever to afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question is, when we take photographs, why do we say cheese? Graham joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Graham.
Afternoon.
Is saying cheese just a sort of a Western world thing? Does everyone say cheese in every part of the world?
Well, it started in the Western world. In fact, it started quite recently. The earliest reference we can find to people saying cheese as a trick to make you give what looks like a smile in a photograph is from the 1940s, where an ambassador of Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "This is a great trick, which I learned from a prominent politician about how to smile in photographs." Everyone thought he was talking about the president. And it really caught on. People, you know, photographers started telling people to say cheese, and it spread around the world. So all around the, you know, the E especially sort of bares your teeth and gives your mouth the shape of a fake smile, to be honest, because this is not a real smile, and there's a big difference between them. But anyway, so all around the world, you actually see people saying different things, but they have to get that E sound. So in places like India and Turkey, where paneer is, you know, the word for cheese, you know, you get that E sound. In Latin American countries, it's more like whiskey, where you sort of hold that E at the end of whiskey. And of course, a lot of you may think, I'm going to start saying whiskey from now on. But, but the most bizarre one is that in Italian and in Japanese, people say, in Japan, people say cheese, or just cheese, right, or chizu, and in Italy they say di cheese, and so they actually use the English word cheese basically to get that face. So it started, as far as we can tell, in the United States, possibly with FDR, and spread around the world really, really quickly. And one of the problems with this is, of course, you get a cheesy grin, right? You know, which is a fake smile, right? It's not a real smile. And there's a big difference between fake smiles and real smiles, principally around the eyes, which is really, really important to us in these mask-wearing times. So if you're saying cheese, your eyes are not going to crinkle and compress the way they do with a genuine smile. And so photographers, there's a zillion photographers on the internet recommending ways to get a real smile on camera. And one is, you know, there's lots of all the cheesy jokes, as it were, which you hear if you've ever been at wedding photographs and stuff like that. But another one is to say, 1, 2, 3, you know, I'm going to take the picture of 1, 2, 3, say cheese, and you take the picture when people say cheese, and then you fire off the pictures you want to get just after that, when people are sort of relaxed and are behaving in a more normal way, and maybe they're smiling to themselves because they just got a whole bunch of people to say cheese.
Right.
So, or something else, like, you know.
Marmoset, apparently they say in some countries, that's bound to raise a laugh.
In France, they say marmoset. I'm not totally sure where that came from, because it doesn't look like, I mean, I guess it's ouistiti, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It could be ouistiti, I don't know, which, you know, it's got lots of E's in there, and the T, like CH, would sort of focus the teeth, you know, on putting the teeth in the position to be exposed through the E sound. So WTT, I guess, is probably what it is. Again, as was noted on the internet, you know, in Korea, they say kimchi, right? So if you look at what people say, a lot of them are that sound, and they have a sort of a T or a CH and then an E. Now, another thing which you see in various countries is little bird, or watch the birdie, or, you know, here flies the little bird. And this is connected to another thing which we associate with photography, which is may have died out. I don't know. You might have been told when you're, you know, younger, probably, if you're as old as I am, you know, to watch the birdie or look at the birdie. And there was no birdie, right? And you might have wondered, what's that about? And it's because around the end of the 19th century, a photographer had an actual bird, which he used to get people to compose their face or to pay attention and look in the same direction, look at him behind his tripod with his hood over the back, you know. to look at that during what could be a fairly longish period, now only a few seconds or less than a few seconds at that point, but just to focus your gaze in the right place. So a bunch of people said, aha, and patented and brought out all these mechanical birds, which allowed photographers to squeeze a bulb and the bird would sing or move and would otherwise sort of get the attention of especially children to look the right way so their pictures could be taken. But this sort of died out as people lost the tripod and the hood over the back and cameras got smaller and shutter speeds got much shorter. So you could really take a snapshot.
Right. Okay. Now, we didn't always smile for photographs. And I would have thought back in the days when photographs took a while to take, it was probably not a good idea to smile for a photograph.
Well, that's it. So people have noticed that there are very, very few old photographs from, again, before the turn of the century, but even before the turn of the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century. Very few photographs which show people smiling. And actually, if you see photographs from, say, the 1840s of people smiling, it's quite odd. Right, you're not used to seeing these grinning people in very composed formal pictures showing their teeth, and there's a huge amount of debate over why. Right now, one is that they had very bad dental hygiene, and you wouldn't just be showing off your teeth in something which was going to be permanent and is very expensive and luxurious. But other people have pointed out, look, they knew everybody had poor dental hygiene, and so it wasn't a big deal. People didn't see it as something to be ashamed of, right, or which made someone necessarily less attractive. And so a lot of it seems to stem from conventions of portraiture, which was true even before there was photography, which is that baring your teeth is sort of idiotic or obscene, right? And certainly smiling is seen as the province of peasants, drunkards, and children. And children do, in fact, smile a lot more than adults, right? Which is why we like to be around them, I suppose. They smile something like 400 times a day, whereas even the smiliest adults smile only about 50 times a day. But, so you didn't want to, if you're posing for something, you don't want to look like some kind of, Dutch master picture of a drunk, right? So the idea was that's why people had this sort of stone-faced look. And in fact, they were told, apparently, to say prunes, which would give you this sort of small mouth, rather than a wide grin or a wide mouth. And so that really persisted. And a lot of people point to this cultural change where cheap photography becomes possible. So the Eastman Kodak Company comes up with cheap cameras. And by the end of the 19th century, I keep saying turn of the century, but I realize we've had another century turn and I have to adjust my historical expectations. But anyway, at the end of the 19th century, they come up with the Brownie camera, which allows you to take a snapshot. It was a dollar, which was still, maybe $30 or $40 in current money, but it's, cheap enough that everybody could take pictures. And then they provided all of the ways of developing it. And so they were encouraging people to take a snapshot, which is a word they coined, so that people could capture all the moments of their lives. And suddenly, instead of these very rare, luxurious formal portraits, people were taking pictures of everyday events, and they wanted those to be happy. And in fact, Kodak put forward the idea of you recording these happy moments with lots of pictures of smiling people. And they coined the idea that these were Kodak moments, right, which we still heard.
Of course,
Relatively, Kodak still made cameras and we still used cameras, people would talk about Kodak moments. And so that really changed the whole culture of these things. Some people have also said, look, film stars and the prevalence of film, which was also promoted by photographs, they would show movie stars smiling. And that sort of broke down the image of the very somber and serious person, which you would associate with portraits of presidents or, famous intellectuals or whatever, famous persons, especially pre-photographical portraits.
Would it also then have had a knock-on effect on dental hygiene?
Well, true. I mean, dental hygiene improved for all sorts of good reasons after that point. Something we should talk about in the future is probably, the introduction of fluoride into the water in the course of the 20th century, and then just the general improvements in dental hygiene. But yeah, sure, people, once they got used to the idea of smiling for the camera, also became more engaged perhaps with their dental health. What we see actually over the course of the 20th century is the creation of a whole sort of fetishization of hygiene, body odor, all sorts of things you didn't know you had, right? Like, yes, bad teeth or whatever, which then they could sell you products to deal with, right? So it's probably a bit of a virtuous circle on the selling us stuff front.
Right. Okay. And they have done, the academics, perhaps arguably too much time on their hands, have done studies of yearbook photographs and people's smiles and made predictions about how their life's going to pan out in the future.
Yeah. No. And smiling is incredibly important. So when we see a smile, a real smile, or any kind of smile, we try to figure out whether it's real or not. And we actually make that face ourselves. And so we try it on and say, well, is that a real smile or not? That's why this mask wearing is kind of challenging. Now, they've found that people are better or worse at doing this, depending on what their situation is, depending on whether they've sort of been recently excluded from something. They put a pencil between people's lips and then people couldn't form a smile, and they were much less good at detecting people's smiles. So we mirror the smiles we see around us. And that has a powerful effect on the brain and our mood, right? So they looked at all these yearbook photos of all these sincerely smiling people, and they followed it in some cases through all their yearbooks, and they found all sorts of things. First of all, women smile more than men, which is true, and it was something a lot of people say. This change happens around grade 4 in the United States, so sort of 9 or 10, and persists. This difference between women and men persists throughout adulthood. Generally, it doesn't really change after that. Men smile more when nobody's watching them, which is interesting. But also, they looked at these people, and these people were people who didn't smile at all, were the least smiley in their yearbook photos, were much more likely to get divorced, right? Whereas the smiliest people were much less likely to get divorced. And it could be for all these social and psychological reasons. These are people who are, outgoing, who are generally happy, who are good at sort of projecting positive emotions into a space. They're also very social and things like that. This is all speculation because they came up with simply correlating these things. They also looked at baseball cards, and they looked at baseball players who smiled, and the smiliest baseball players lived apparently 7 years longer than those who didn't. So they've done an awful lot of research into yearbook photos in the United States, which is a big place for the yearbook photos. And in fact, they find a lot of beneficial outcomes correlated with being one of the smiliest people in your high school.
Okay, so remember that, folks. One texter says, in France, we say ouicite. It's a Madagascan monkey, apparently. Someone else says, if you say wheeze, W-H-E-E-Z, you will get the smile and laughter lines around the eyes. Someone else says, if I'm taking a photo, I tell people I hate cheese, so just say sausages. It gets a laugh every time, so I can get a genuine smiling photo. On a similar point, Aideen says, I remember in a group photo with all the aunts and uncles, my 4-year-old cousin shouted, say sausages. And my half-deaf 86-year-old uncle misheard him, so he shouted the word testicles. He didn't even know what he was saying. Best memory of him ever, says Aideen. Graham, thanks a million for talking with us today. Graham Finlay there. You are listening to The Moncrief Show.
Moncrief on News Talk.